Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Thanks for joining me. It's always my pleasure to have you with me. It makes my afternoon fun talking to you. So jump on the line, anything that moves you, jump on the line and we'll put you to air. That's the basic principle of the program. 1-300-736-736 is the number. 1-300-736-736. The open line for Werribee Kia. Werribee Kia in challenging times. They're here for you as well. They're still open for business. So drop down to Werribee Kia if you're in the market for a new car. Dwayne's World for Robot Building Supplies. They've got it and they deliver at robotbuildingsupplies.com.au. And you can always get me on the speckle text. Got one on the speckle text saying that how much of a breath of fresh air Josh Jenkins has been. One here from Brett. Josh was great over the weekend. Really good to lighten the mood and brought a smile to a lot of people. And he is a fun guy to talk to. I enjoy his company as well. If you missed the Ben Cousins Coming Clean documentary last night on Channel 7, you can catch up on it at 7plus.com.au or the 7plus app. That's where I caught up on it this morning, in the early hours of this morning. And Basil Zemplis put it together. Channel 7 commentator and reporter did the interviewing, and it was an interesting watch, I must say. It was a distressing watch for me, I've also got to say, but more about that a little later. Basil's been good enough to join me. Welcome to you, Basil. Great to have you on. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, my pleasure, Dwayne. Yeah, look, I think all of those things that you said are right. It was confronting and it was challenging and it hit you between the eyes. And it is the reality of somebody who is dependent or is struggling with a drug addiction. And there was no sugarcoating it. There was no intent to sugarcoat it. It is what it is. And that's Ben's reality at the moment. So that's what was presented last night.
Now, you've watched this evolution of the Ben Cousins story close up. To me, it was like re-watching a car crash in slow motion that I'd seen before and I knew people had been hurt, but I kind of had to sit there last night and this morning and try and rewatch the car crash, knowing how many people, and it destroyed so many people. It was way down the list of things that it destroyed for a while. It destroyed a bit of the credibility of the West Coast Eagles, and even footy in general took a hit from it. So, I mean, what did you learn that was new from it for you, Basil? Ben, I've never been... Well, maybe early on I got sucked in by his charisma, but I haven't never really fallen for the charisma because I've never been able to sort the truth out for quite a while. Yeah. How did you go sorting that out yourself during this?
Well, they're all accurate comments, Dwayne. There's no doubt about that. I mean, and I think part of his charisma and part of his charm that other people did fall for, I guess, was one of the reasons why he was able to probably travel down this life and into this lifestyle as efficiently, if you like, as he has done. So I take you on board with that. Well, I guess, Dwayne, I mean, to make it plainly simple, what I learned is that drug addiction is horrific and, it's a very, very difficult thing to shake. And nobody's had more help at trying to shake it, you would probably say, than Ben Cousins. He had everything available to him, but he hasn't been able to do that. So what it tells you, I guess, is that when you hear of members of the community who have loved ones or family members struggling with it, you understand how difficult it must be for them to deal with it. Because, you know, in somebody that we've known or somebody that we knew and a very high-profile figure in the AFL, to see it play out the way it did last night, I think that reminds you of what a struggle drug addiction is. Probably the other thing too, I mean, I wasn't overly surprised that he was evasive around the questions of drug use. I think I get that, and I think I understand that that is probably part and parcel of drug addiction. And in fact, the counsellors have told us that that is part of it. Probably what I was most, if you're looking for me to be disappointed with something from Ben, it was probably that he didn't take ownership of the pain, the considerable pain that he must have caused his family. He sort of reluctantly did, but Brian and Stephanie, lovely people, they've battled this unmercifully. And you would think as a father himself that he might have had a bit more acknowledgement of what he's put them through. And that probably was the most disappointing aspect for me personally.
And where do you think he's going to be in 5 years, having seen what you saw?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question, isn't it? I mean, you hope that a flick, a switch gets flicked within him. Maybe even sitting down and watching that last night, he saw a version of himself that, is that what it takes? And look, one of the reasons why he went down this path and working with Brian, one of the reasons why it was thought that it might be worth a shot was because not a great deal of other things that he tried appeared to be working. And I don't think there was, I think he and I think probably his family are at a point where, well, we've tried everything. We've tried to do everything else. What else could work? What might work? And he did say to me, one thing I reflect on after the second of our lengthy interviews, and it was pretty confronting and it was pretty head on. And at the end of it all, I was pretty exhausted. I think he was, reasonably emotionally exhausted as well. And I said, once the filming had stopped, you okay, mate? How are you with that? And he said, and he sort of reflected. And he said, it's good for me to be asked those questions. It's good for me to have to be put on the spot like that. It's good for me to process in my mind what the answer is. And he says, because unless I do that, I'm probably not gonna be able to move forward. And all through my sort of 6 months on and off with Ben, and particularly the week that we put this together, you see flashes of a very normal individual, and then you see flashes of an individual who's been using drugs for a long time. And I guess the battle for anyone in that boat is how do they make the periods of normality more sustainable or more sustained? How do they get to the point where they do not need to use drugs anymore? But the other thing I learned, I guess, Dwayne, is how highly, highly addictive ice is and how excruciatingly difficult it is to try and shake. So that's where we're at, I guess, unfortunately. That's the Ben Cousins story for now. How it ends, we don't know. It wasn't a glorious Hollywood ending last night. No. It was an update. And that's where Ben is 10 years on from the last time that he's spoken.
Are there people that haven't forgiven him? There are some teammates and even some former West Coast Eagles players who don't like having, given how hard they worked to set up the club as an iconic organisation, didn't like what happened during that era. Where are ex-teammates and people that have been ex-West Coast superstars at with Ben?
Sure. Yeah, look, I didn't speak to a lot of them for this.
But you know a lot of them.
I didn't speak to John Walsh. Yeah, true. Yep. I think, Dwayne, out of respect for the Ben Cousins, who was a brilliant footballer at West Coast, I think out of respect for that person, I think what they do is they differentiate. There's two Ben Cousins for them. There's the one that was a great teammate, a great clubman, a great player, a Brownlow medalist, and who they enjoyed being around and whose leadership they thrived under. And then there's the other Ben Cousins. And I think they differentiate between the two. They still have admiration for the first one and they keep their distance from the second one.
He'll never be in the AFL Hall of Fame?
Well, I don't know what the criteria would allow or wouldn't allow. He's a Brownlow medalist.
Mike Sheehan says he's one of the top 30 or top 50. He was in Mike's top 50 all time, I think. So, in terms of the stats for his career, he's a six-time All-Australian. He won the Rising Star Award. He was, West Coast, four-time West Coast, best and fairest. And, as you mentioned, Brownlow medalist. He's won the Players' MVP Award and, the premiership to go with it all. So he's up there when it comes to contenders that deserve on their stats to be in, to be considered, if they ever considered him being considerable.
Yeah, well, that's right. Look, and on the flip side, he was also suspended for 12 months by the AFL for bringing the game into disrepute. So how do they balance that and what criteria gets put around it? On playing ability, he deserves to be in. I don't think anybody disputes that. Whether the other stuff allows him to get in or not, I'm not sure. He'll always be a Brownlow medalist. But he'll also be a figure who's been largely divisive, I guess, to the game since from 2006-07 onwards, and that's something that the game and he have to live with. But as I say, last night was not about a happy ending because there's no obvious conclusion to this story yet. And can he fight his way back, which is what most people ask? Well, as I say, I saw glimpses, and I saw at times an understanding of his predicament, but I also saw times when he probably didn't get it and doesn't understand what he's grappling with. I don't know whether he's mentally not capable of grappling with it anymore or whether he chooses not to. I can't, that I don't know the answer to. But when he can't see the wood from the trees, if you like, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get that part of it. So that's his reality.
It is, and as I said, the reality for me was, you know, like rewatching a car crash that, you know, I saw live the first time it happened. Basil, sure. I appreciate your time. You're going to miss. What were you going to do with the Olympics? What are you still planning to do in a year's time? And are you going to miss the fact that it's not coming around? I presume you would have had a big role.
Yeah, I was doing opening and closing ceremony and calling the swimming, so I was right in at the deep end. But look, I must say, and there's so many businesses and families and other people around the community struggling, but the one that sort of makes a living flying around all over the place and often being busy at strange times, the sort of quiet, if there's an unexpected happy consequence out of this, it's the family time that I'm getting to enjoy with my three young kids. So, don't wish it to be at the expense of anybody's health or livelihood, but I must say, I'm just making the most of the simple things, and that is spending time with my family and kids, and that has been a really unexpected bonus. And I think, as I said to my kids, I think we will all look back, if we all get through this okay, we'll look back on 2020 and the winter of 2020 and go, wow, remember that year? And my kids are young, they're right in the zone, they're 9, 6 and nearly 3, and we've just had some beautiful family moments together. So that's the unexpected bonus out of all of this.
Yeah, nice to hear. The Wildcats deserved their title, didn't they?
Well, you can't be 2-1 up, win both games on the road, and then not be given the trophy if the league decides that that's what they're going to do, particularly when they offered the clubs a chance to have a three-game series. Well, you tell me, did you agree that they should have?
Absolutely. They deserved it. They should have got it, and I'm glad they did. And one last question, Basil, before you go. We're talking about some of the all-time greats, like, you know, Ben Cousins, stats-wise, is up there. What's our old mate, the greatest of all time, Dennis Cometti, doing over there in WA at the moment? Is he well?
I would not at all be surprised if he's listening. He does a regular segment with me on 7 News in Perth every Thursday night. Typically, we discuss footy. I rang him to say, righto, Dan, what are we going to do? And he said, well, everybody's doing top 5s or top 7s or top 12s or whatever, so we won't do that. And typically, Dennis, a lateral thinker, he said, right, I've thought about it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through jumper numbers, and I'm going to give my top 3 in a specific jumper number from 1960 onwards. So that's what he's working on at the moment, Dwayne.
Tell him we love him and we miss him. Great to have you, Basil. Thanks a lot for your time. And for those people who missed it or want to watch it, Ben Cousins coming clean last night on Channel 7. You can catch up with it on 7plus.com.au or the 7plus app. Basil, thanks a lot for your time.
Good on you, Dwayne. Thanks for the interest. All the best, mate.
Basil Zemplis, Channel 7 star and reporter, and he's great at his job as a host and as an interviewer and as a sport caller. And I can't wait to hear him on the Olympics whenever that might be. 1-300-736-736. Did you watch it? What did you think? Quite a few coming through on the speckle text, and I'll read those straight after the break. Oval 3398 1116, the Werribee Kia open line, or the speckle text 0433 98 1116, or 1300 is the Werribee Kia line, 736 736, 1300 736 736. You're with Dwayne's World.